From the capital city of the state of Oregon, it's Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Hello, I'm Stacy Ann, together with you on this terrific Monday, 29th day of March. Got Terry in the studio with me today. Good morning, Terry.
Hey, good morning.
All right, so we're having a good time
already
trying to get through all of the information and all of the weekend activities, and it was good to see the sun out on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice, and certainly as we look at the weather forecast here this week, you're our weatherman.
Oh, for the love.
I know you, when you're not here, I always say in more than 72 hours, as Terry would say.
Well, that is
true. We really can't count on it, but talk to us a little bit about what to expect today and the next couple days.
Well, you know, it's kind of chilly last night.
Bot
cover had some ice on it.
Oh,
yep,
I know.
Down to 28
cold.
Or so. And then looking forward, now today a little bit of scattered splatter. That's a technical term there.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be on its way out. Some this morning, mainly north, on its way out. High today of about 53. Over the next couple of days, the precipitation is going to decrease and the temperature is going to increase. In fact, we're looking for a high of 67 on the last day of the month.
Oh,
what
wow.
a way to go out.
Yes.
You know,
well, I'm glad it's not on April Fool's Day on the 1st, although it does look like it's going to be in the 60s. But yes, I think we can count on that.
Yep.
Is that in the time window of counting on doing something fun on Wednesday with
I hope
a warmer?
So.
Yeah,
I
think I might have to go over to the. I know you have to work that day, but when I get off the radio,
I might
have to go to the coast. That sounds like a fantastic coast day.
Yep,
we may
yep.
have to check out the weather, like in Tillamook or whatever,
true
and
enough.
See what it's like there. Well, we're glad to have you on listening this morning to us. We've got a lot of news to get through. I just want to kind of reflect over the weekend. I thought it was a great weekend, a lot of
yeah.
activity going on. Of course, I had a chance to go again to the biblical citizenship class yesterday.
You're really getting a lot out
it
of
was
it.
A,
you come home all pumped up.
It was really, really good. And something I learned out of the class yesterday, and it'd be interesting if someone's listening who also is attending that class and you want to call in and kind of talk about it this morning, I invite you to give us a call, 503-589-1220. But the thing that I have always thought this was the case that I learned differently yesterday, and I haven't even had a chance to process this with you, but when you think about the Supreme Court, mostly we tend to think that that's a lifetime appointment, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like they're there.
Right.
We get what we get. But I learned yesterday through this class that indeed they can actually be impeached. Did
Real?
You know that?
No.
So they're there as long as their behavior is good and ethical and all of
who
those things.
Who do they answer to besides us?
So
who could do that?
They can be impeached. So through the Senate process, just
Whoa.
Like they can be confirmed.
Okay.
So
I'll
this is something that is very interesting. So I'm learning these little nuggets. So, and of course,
has it ever happened in history?
Well, not. I believe 19 times judges have been impeached. Now I don't know if the Supreme Court. I didn't get all into
okay.
all of
okay.
that depth,
Still.
But there have been instances, especially. Federal judges
right.
that have had ethical issues and
mm-hmm.
you know, like taking bribes and
oh
things
my.
Like that, things have come out. So that's really interesting to know that, because and then they really talked about the three branches, and they talked about in our modern culture we look at the Supreme Court as the end all be all,
mm-hmm.
and really there's more power in Congress than there should be in the Supreme Court. So there it was very, very good. And I encourage people, if you have a chance, to register for these classes. Classes, patriotacademy.com. There's an effort going on. Coaches are being trained locally. In fact, I met a new coach in the Philomath area, Alsea area, Lebanon and Linn County area. There's someone being trained as a coach in that area to maybe come to your church. And I think this is really good to facilitate. Churches are a good place to facilitate
mm-hmm.
that, whether you attend that church or not. Because right now, because of the freedom of worship and some of the federal rules that have happened against churches, you really aren't restricted. They can't restrict
right,
you
right.
from your education and your religious activities. So it's been a learning weekend for me. So I went to that. And then yesterday afternoon, I participated in a wonderful organization, Kicking Cancer, which last year we had Baron on quite a bit. The organization Kicking Cancer had an honor-in dinner with at the Honky Tonk Bar and Grill, and we honored and certainly remembered those that we've lost to cancer, honored our volunteers and those lives that have defeated cancer. And certainly the volunteers and the board members that continue to work ahead to raise funds and help and partner alongside of people contending with cancer. So that was a great event. And then I had opportunity to participate last night and go to worship at the River Church last night. They have a Sunday night service. It's really kind of a more of a casual atmosphere, and it was really a good service. And
I sure miss the potluck dinners you used to have on a Sunday night or a Wednesday night.
I'm leading up to this because they're going to have an Easter celebration next Easter, and they're going to do a breakfast.
I love that.
Isn't that a great idea? So I think we maybe put that on our calendar for next Sunday, since there's no working on Sunday,
I'm off
right?
That Sunday.
Yes.
That's right.
So,
I think the store's closed.
Yeah. And so this week, when we look at our guests this week, who we have on the air this week, we're going to have on Wednesday, Andrew and Trina are coming on, and they're pastors, like associate administrative type pastors there at the River Church. They're going to come on and talk about some of the programming that's been going on at the River Church. They have a wonderful program called Celebrate Recovery. And one of the things I've been really concerned about this year here in Oregon and all around the country, but the friends of mine and we know people that are in recovery, and a lot of them go to AA and they go to programs of support. Well, when everybody got locked into their homes, where's that support? So they're going to come in and talk a little bit about that, and I'm excited. Now, Terry, when you were out of town, Andrew and Trina came and helped me with a flat tire. And so when they get here on, I want to do something special for them when they're here on Wednesday, because they really came and helped me. And they were my flat tire friends, you know. And so I want to honor them. And then on Friday, Pastor Lou, we're going to do First Friday. Pastor Lou's agreed to come in and kind of be my co-host on Fridays. So he'll be here on Friday.
You know, over the last 20 years or so, you know, pastors, when I was a little kid, of course, you know, it was coat and tie, and and you almost were kind of like, I won't say in awe, but now, not that this is a bad thing, but it seems like the pastors, they're our age, and they're kind of cool like we are. I think we're kind of cool, but they're easy to talk to. They're the normal guy next door. They come fix your tire. I can't imagine, not that my old pastor wouldn't have, but he would be in his coat and tie, and it's just not something I would see him doing. I love the fact that pastors and
are just regular folks.
I love that.
And that has been the thing that I've been most appreciative about, the folks that I've met at the River Church. You know, they're normal folks like you and I, doing, you know, rolling up their sleeves, helping one another, and it's just been a real pleasure to get to know them and kind of serve our community with them. And so there's a lot of news this morning that to get through. Yesterday I got a text message from our friend Rebecca. She has a little business, The Trunk, which is right downtown, and while I'm in biblical citizenship class, she texted me and she said, "What in the world is going on downtown? There is hundreds of people in black at the Capitol downtown, and I'm scared." And she has a business down there, and of course she's had to shut down, and there's been trouble just right around the corner, glass broken, different things. And so because I'm tied to the radio station and to news, I think she thought I'd be her first, and I really hadn't heard anything. I'd heard rumblings of maybe a Patriot rally, wasn't real sure, hadn't even gotten personally invited. Usually I get those kinds of alerts. Apparently there was a rally in Sandy, kind of a Patriot rally in the back in the olden days, just like a couple months ago we call it a Trump rally, but a Patriot rally, and they were coming to the Capitol, you know, with their trucks and their flags and their, you know, to celebrate freedoms and liberty and kind of make awareness of how our liberties are a challenge right now at the state Capitol. Well, waiting for them was Antifa.
It's the word got out, and you know, trouble. Don't need to be there.
On my way out of biblical citizenship class, I drove by the Capitol, and sure enough, on both sides of the road was black. I mean, you could barely even see their eyes. Helmets geared up. They had the masks, not our masks to go into the grocery store. They had the gas masks on, like you would wear in the chicken barns back in Arkansas.
Respirator.
The respirator type.
It's not going to help.
Geared up. They had weapons. They had bats. They were geared up as I drove through. No
problem. For trouble.
No problem for me when I went through there,
yeah,
right? Of course,
good.
I don't have flags, and I, you know,
I'm not in a fancy car.
I'm not standing out really necessarily. But they had their big signs that had graffitied cuss words on them and all of that. So it wasn't inviting, and it certainly wasn't patriotic. Well, apparently it got kind of intense because it's in the headlines of the Statesman Journal here, and it made the Epoch Times as well. And it says police declare anti-fascist gathering at the Capitol as an unlawful assembly. About 200 anti-fascist demonstrators clashed with a small number of right-wing supporters and police Sunday near the Oregon State Capitol grounds in response to a planned freedom rally and flag wave. The demonstration began in the early afternoon in front of the Capitol, where protesters, many wearing black masks and helmets and some wearing stickers, stood anti-fascist stickers, stood for a few hours waiting for a caravan from a rally in Sandy that expected to arrive at the Capitol. The Freedom Rally was advertised as an event to honor those who fought for our freedoms. Protesters on the sidewalks and in the street threw objects at a number of vehicles that drove by the Capitol with American flags, breaking vehicles' windows. Now, what I heard, a warning from the police department themselves, they stated they were given updates, and I was updating my Facebook, I think even the KSLM page, as I was alerted to this, that they were pointing lasers at drivers in their eyes,
dear.
And they were throwing things at their cars and all of that. And so, of course, the police
that
and the SWAT
so
team got involved, and it did make the headlines. Now, my question to you is this. Here we have in our governor, who is so very concerned about businesses following the mask guidelines and the COVID guidelines and et cetera, and yet we have literally people in front of the Capitol causing outright harm to Oregonians that are driving by. Many of them weren't even a part of this rally that was yet to come, and they were not arrested. There wasn't a lot of trouble. You know, they were kind of watched and certainly alerted, and it'll be interesting to see what it comes, if who exactly was arrested. My understanding is when the rally got here, some of the Patriot folks, which the paper here, of course, no surprise, calls them extreme right wingers, came out, and there was some confrontation, and it seemed like the Patriots got arrested, not for having guns and those kinds of things. And so, it continues a year later. And when we look at the headlines, I think it's interesting to look at some of the headlines that we have in our news. And one of them is today, as you may or may not know this, Terry, that Monday, March today, 29th, is national recognized as Vietnam Veterans Day.
Oh, that's good.
And Oregon officially designates March 30th of each year as Welcome Home Vietnam Veterans Day, which was enacted in 2011. And I think recognizing and our heroes, and that kind of ties in with what this rally, they initially had said that they were going to, celebrate those who fight for our freedoms and our liberties. And right now we have several senators that are refusing to listen to Oregonians and say, please do not stay for quorum and let these horrible bills that assault our liberties, whether it be our constitutional right to carry, even with a concealed weapon or open carry, right? They've got some punitive laws. They're increasing taxes. They're certainly threatening our education process. These are all things that are coming along that we need to continue to fight and contend for.
Yeah.
And we're going to continue the news headlines. And when we come back from this break, you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. And it's not all sad news. I've got some good news.
I won't let her do
on
that.
The way. I promise
Carry to
you.
The rescue.
Yes,
come on
we'll
now.
Continue the conversation after this. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day. This morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Good morning. It's 9:22. Glad to be hanging out with you on this Monday. Wrapping up almost just a few more days of this month and right into April, and
yep.
It's been fun. to watch. I've talked about this a lot, all the signs of spring.
Oh,
not
love
only
it.
The blossoms, and it's so beautiful.
The animals
are coming alive.
Our
cat is going crazy.
Wow.
And he's an indoor kitty cat, but he wants to be out amongst the critters. We have to put little treats outside for the squirrels to come close, and the cat jumps up and down on the window. It's quite entertaining.
Can I tell him about the other little friend that comes out to play?
Oh, you can.
Okay.
Some will be alerted at this.
Yeah, some of you might not like it. So we have this big field mouse, and we've named him Ratatouille. And so he eats the little nuts and stuff we put out. It's so cute, little ears.
We've had squirrels and doves and ducks and ratatouille and a possum.
Yep.
It's been quite the adventure.
Fun.
And here we live in town. It's incredible. We live near a golf course. And
so needless to say, our freezer's full.
No, I'm kidding.
Ooh. Right.
No, we're actually rebuilding our freezer after 12 days of no electricity, but we won't be rebuilding with that. So we're going to continue to talk about the headlines this morning, and it's brought to you this morning by the Safe Air Network, an opportunity for you to desanitize your air and surface within 3 minutes using technology that NASA uses, chemical-free, and you need to bring this to your home, office, business, school, church today, because it is the answer to opening up Oregon and pushing back against all
amazing
these mask mandates, and it's incredible. I had a guest here in the studio last week who said, oh my gosh, I can tell the air is different in here. Mm-hmm. They come in, it was Bill Sunderland, they come in every month, you know, to talk on the radio. And so go to safeairnetwork.com. I'm in the process of becoming a Safe Air specialist so I can come and do an estimate in your home and or your office and see what you need to have your air safe. Now, getting back to the headlines, northwestobserver.com, great source for you to look at what's happening here in Oregon. Did you know, Terry, Oregon is second to last in reopening schools, keeping primary schools closed, link with declining mental health. Isn't this crazy?
Well, I've heard about that. I mean, the kids are just going nuts. They're not used to this. They're unhappy. They need to get that. I mean, these are the times of the years you socially build and, you know, you mature that way. So, I could understand that.
The extensive amount of time that Oregon students have attended school from home may have serious implications for their academic success and mental health. Even a hybrid schooling method requires a significant amount of time at home. And so most states in the country have been reopening after numerous studies point to safe conditions that will allow willing students to attend school in person with minimal COVID-19 risk. And I think my answer to this is schools, whether you're private or public or whatever, let's get connected to the Safe Air Network.
That's true.
And
no more excuses for them to keep them shut
down.
And
Dr. Birx, who was a part of Dr. Fauci's team when this all happened a year ago, she's now joined ARIS and the Safe Air Network. She's an authority with the equipment that we utilize, so that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Now, here's a good story. I promised a good story, right?
Here it goes.
This is a good story from the Kaiser Times, and I think any time you have someone you can highlight and celebrate who is a community member, I'm like all in for that. Kim Freeman, this comes out of the Kaiser Times. Kim Freeman was having coffee with Marion County Commissioner Danielle Bethel when members of the Kaiser Chamber of Commerce walked into the shop with a surprise announcement that she was 2020 Kaiser First Citizen. Freeman had only one stunned word to offer for the next minute or so was, wow. This is just something I never expected, she said after the Kaiser First Citizen ceremony Saturday, March 20th. I just look at all the people that are previous winners, and I'm just in awe of everyone to be standing beside all of them. Congratulations, Kim Freeman, for being the first citizen 2020.
That's a big deal.
Yes, and when you think about, last year and how tough it was a tough season for so many people in so many areas. And so to celebrate the goodness of a citizen is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some things coming up on the community calendar. I want to encourage people. This will be the second week of Liberty First University. Chris Ann Hall is doing a video training, and we're hosting it at the River Church. And this will be the second time, and you can still join us. In fact, there were so many people, there were over 60 people. We were in one area. They're going to expand it so we can bring friends. So that'll be 7 o'clock Wednesday, this Wednesday, 7 p.m. You can come to Liberty First University and enjoy a wonderful training for free with Chris Ann Hall. And then YMCA is coming up with a Friday. This coming Friday, they are doing a prayer and reflection for Good Friday. That's Easter this weekend. I can't believe how fast that's approached. So they're having a Good Friday prayer breakfast, but it's a streaming online event. So you can, it starts at 8 a.m. and the May Trucking is sponsoring that. And so you can find more information about that. YMCA, look them up. Good Friday service here in Salem, Oregon. Find them online. And then a point of action, absolutely a must. By Friday, April 2nd, we need to email this email. And I'm going to go real slow. Grab your pen and paper. Tech, T-E-C-H dot web at Oregon.gov. And what we need to write in the subject is Open Oregon, COVID-19 mandates in the workplace. So what's happening is they're mandating, and there's actually a petition. We'll put a link on this on our Facebook. And I think several thousand people have signed this petition. But the OSHA, the bureaucrats basically, are trying to make a policy that this mask mandate continues on for businesses, for your place where you're working. It's really a tragic thing. It's a current mask mandate is due to expire May 4th, and they are proposing it to be enacted as a permanent workplace rule.
No.
Yes. And so they need to hear from us. You need to send this email. Let me say it again. Tech,
T-E-C-H
dot web at Oregon.gov. And then again, right in the subject line, Open Oregon COVID-19 mandates in the workplace.
You can do it from your phone.
And I encourage you to be honorable. Don't be angry. Be honorable. Talk about how it's affecting your liberty and your rights to, your own freedom, your body, your choice, those kinds of things, and hopefully they will not make this a permanent move. It's time that we continue to get back to safe and healthy living, don't you agree? And get these businesses open up. When we come back from this break, we're going to talk about how some liberties and some things are happening up in Vancouver, Washington, and what we can do to support the folks on the front lines there. We'll be back after this.
Yeah, you. Hello, good morning, how you doing?
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new day this morning.
Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, 9:34 in the morning, and what's our weather forecast, Terry?
No, it's going to be nice today. Not as nice as it's going to be Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But today we're looking for a high of about 53. This morning we had some scattered showers. They should be gone by mid-morning, late afternoon. And over the next few days, no complaints. Precip's going to fall away. Temperatures are going to rise. And again, peak on Wednesday, somewhere almost close to 70.
And you rode,
I like saying the number 70.
Uh-huh. And you rode your motorcycle in today.
It was a little chilly.
It was a little chilly, but it'll be warm going home.
Speaking of motorcycles.
You got to head out.
Yeah,
I know. It's time to hit the sales floor, right?
That's right.
Yep, there you go. Well, thank you for joining me for a little bit this morning.
Okay.
And certainly have a great day, all right?
All right.
All right.
Catch y'all later.
As we continue on the conversation this morning, there are some things brewing up in Vancouver. And friends, if you remember, about a month ago, I think it was exactly, there was an incident up in Clark County, Washington, where it just boggles my mind, where a gal who has power of attorney with her mom of her mental condition and care was actually, her mom was held against the will of both the mother and the daughter. And so people showed up and in protest and said to the hospital and said, look, release her. She needs to be released. And so there's more to the story. And I got a press release from Kelly. And I also got, I've been talking to Robert, and I brought him on the air with me this morning. Good morning to both of you. How are you doing today?
Hi, Bob.
Thank you so much. Kind of give us a state of the state of what's going on and why today is so critical and what's happening. Can you hear me?
I was going to have Kelly go.
Oh, Kelly. Hello, Kelly. Would you like to go ahead and share us kind of the update of what's happening today? I know, let's tell our listeners a little bit, kind of recap what happened. It was about, 6 weeks ago or so when all of this happened, and now there's an update. Go ahead and tell our story. Let me see if I can get her on. Are you there, Kelly? All right. For some reason, I can't.
I know she was going to call in.
Yeah, I've got you both online, or so I thought. Hello, Kelly. Are you there? Hi, Kelly. Are you there? Good morning. Are you still there, Bob?
Okay, can you hear me now?
Oh, there you are, Kelly. I'm trying to get you both on at the same time, and for whatever reason, I'm not sure. Are you there, Bob? Okay, well, I got you, Kelly. I don't know why I don't have you both on, but go ahead and let's talk about this story that's developed over the last couple months.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, my dear friend's mother had a UTI, ended up in the ER, just needed fluids, not a big deal, and the mother had her daughter in there with her all night the night before, and they said, let's give her one more night, just to get some fluids.
Mm-hmm.
And the daughter, who's the primary caregiver for her mom, paid for even by the state, actually, and the power of attorney, was with her mother till 4 in the morning, left to get a few hours of sleep, no big deal, came back the next day, had her mask on, entered the hospital, and was told her mother had been COVID tested and she would not be able to see her until the results came back. This was very startling because the mother and daughter both let the hospital know they did not want any COVID vaccinations or COVID testing, and the hospital agreed. So it escalated from there. The hospital an hour later told the daughter, I'm sorry, we didn't test your mom. We're actually quarantining her because she's refusing to test. So the mixed story started to concern the daughter, and her mother has brain tumors. She has short-term memory loss. She forgets who we are every day that we see her. She tells us the same stories over and over. She reminds me every time I meet her, you know, do I know you? Have I seen you before? So knowing her mom's state of mind and having her alone in the hospital, especially in the culture we're in right now with everyone really pushing for these COVID vaccines, the daughter was very concerned, and she actually called the sheriff for help. The sheriff refused to come, and so Satin called me and some friends, just a complete mess, crying, saying, I don't know how to protect and care for my mom right now. I need help. And the mom had already called her from her room and said she didn't know what was happening, but if Satin couldn't get there to be with her, she wanted to come home. And so Satin went to the hospital and requested to discharge her mom. The hospital security wouldn't let her in and would not even answer her questions, wouldn't give her discharge papers. In fact, the nurses repeatedly on recorded calls that Satin was doing continued hanging up on her, saying, we're not giving you any information. So about 15 of us went down there and we peaceably protested out front. We made phone calls. We asked people to help by calling the hospital and being a voice for Gail and to advocate for her release. And to make sure that she was cared for in the meantime by having Satin go in and be with her. And, of course, everything was ignored. The sheriff's department ended up showing up, which, you know, we for a moment celebrated because we thought help is here. They're going to take Satin and escort her to her mother. And, you know, maybe they'll just be together. Maybe Satin will get her released. We don't care. We just knew the police were there. They were going to help. And they actually ended up coming with 27 officers in riot gear, surrounded the building, put the whole place on lockdown. One of my friends ended up getting maced. They grabbed Satin by the neck and threw her out of the entryway when she tried to walk in to speak to them. It was just a bad situation that didn't have to happen. And it took about 2 hours of us just peaceably protesting, asking the sheriff why he's not helping us, why they're not, you know, honoring their oath and protecting, serving the patient versus the hospital. After about 2.5 hours, they ended up discharging her. And it was a, you know, huge sigh of relief for everybody who was in fear for, greatly in fear for Gail's safety. And that's been it. And we've kind of just been sitting back and been thankful that she was safe and home. And then recently I just got notice that the Clark County Sheriff's Department has filed a 130-page probable cause warrant for my arrest, and as well as Satin's, the daughter, as well as one of our other friends and his 16-year-old son. Despite the fact that there was, you know, 15 to 40 people there at some, you know, some points throughout the evening, they have targeted four of us, and they're pressing criminal trespass in the first degree, which will not hold up at trial because we were never trespassed. We were never told by the sheriff's department we were trespassed and had to leave. Had they told us that, or had they declared it an unlawful assembly, we've watched this on the news numerous times in Portland, we would have left. We would have gone to the sidewalk and continued protesting there or wherever we were allowed to. But they're bringing these criminal trespass charges, carries 1 year in jail, as well as interference with a medical facility. And that also carries 1 year in jail.
My understanding, so is this a charge brought forth by the Sheriff's Department or is it by the actual Salmon Creek Hospital?
Salmon Creek Hospital is listed as the victim, but this is all being led by a detective, Detective Tanya Johnson in the Clark County Sheriff's Department. And she is supposedly turning it over to Superior Court today or sometime this week to get a judge's signature, and then we could be arrested at any time.
Okay, so then today in front of the courthouse, you're assembling to address these grievances, correct?
Correct, and the mother will be speaking for the first time. She doesn't remember a lot of what happened because of her memory loss, but the Sheriff's Department continued saying they interviewed her and felt she was in her right mind and could make her own decisions. And what they didn't understand is that she has brain tumors and she has severe memory loss, and that's why she has a full-time care provider with her daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So she's actually going to speak out for the first time today with her daughter at the courthouse. And she really just wants to thank the public for coming and getting her reunited with her mom.
Yes.
And then she has her own request that she wrote up to the Clark County Sheriff's Department.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when we talk about learning about the Constitution and have an opportunity to have our liberties and our rights violated like this, and the fact that she, you know, Satin is the power of attorney with her mom and helping and guardian over her health care and the health care decisions. You know, hospital, having worked at a hospital myself before, I know how they take those things so seriously, and they want the advocate to be there. It's troubling that they separated them, and certainly you have the right to stand up with your friends if there's a violation going on, and you were never confronted there, telling you all that you were disturbing, that you needed to get out, that it was an unlawful assembly, like you said. So your rights to be there, you had the right to be there. And so if people want to join on this press conference and be a part and show their support, where do they go?
I'm sure there's going to be lots of people live streaming. All of the media will be there. If they want to follow it on YouTube, it will be posted on Neighbors United. That's a YouTube channel we've developed for our Clark County community here. So we'll get that posted. I'm not really sure who else. I think the conservative preacher will be down there live streaming it. And then, like I said, the media should be down there. We do have a webpage, peoplesrightswashington.org.
Mm-hmm.
And so people can go there. We'll get the link posted on the main page. And they'll be able to watch the press conference. And there will also be places they can email or call if they want to show support or make a request to the judge to not sign that warrant and not put out that warrant for our arrest.
Well, my encouragement to you and your folks, which I don't need, it's preaching to the choir here, but continue in your language and in your comments to the community and to the press, to continue to talk about the constitutional rights, even your Washingtonian constitutional rights and how they've been violated. And actually, the sheriffs are they carry that constitutional, you know, to protect the Constitution and their oath and all of that. And so we certainly will keep you in our thoughts as you go through this. And I'm not sure if I've been able to figure out yet how to get Robert on the call, because I think when we talk about medical freedom and we talk about our right, we're in an interesting time right now with the COVID testing and the vaccinations and some of this urgency to talk. They're talking about how everybody needs to carry a card, you know, potentially in the near future to show vaccination. So I have this feeling, Kelly, a lot of these kinds of situations may come up in the future. And what you guys are doing there, you're being brave, you're having true grit and courage to say, no, we have that right to stand with others when their rights are being violated. Correct.
You know, I really think that when our founders said when they make peaceful revolution impossible, they make violent revolution necessary. And I don't want to end up in a place where people are using violence to defend themselves. I believe the more we can stay within our First Amendment rights, be peaceable and principled, not damage property, not break windows, and just really get our point across, I feel like that's my principled stand that I'm going to stay in. But I do fear for our country that if more people don't enter into that First Amendment and start speaking out, that there is going to be wars and battles in the streets, and there's going to be bloodshed. And I'm trying to do everything I can to avoid that from happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope more people will get involved and see how important it is to speak up now when we don't have to use violence.
That's exactly right.
We can unite together and make a change.
Well, Kelly, stay on the line. I'm going to try to figure out how to get you both up on this next segment so we both can talk. I have a few more questions for you and certainly for Bob as well. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. What are you willing to do, friends, to stand up for your rights and for your neighbor's rights when they're violated? We'll be back after this. Good morning to you, Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, here to encourage you, educate, empower you with news that you can use. And certainly there's a lot going on. And I know, friends, it can be really discouraging because it seems like every single day more liberty is being threatened in our day-to-day lives. And everything, you know, it's interesting because I've had people say to me, you know, I haven't been very politically engaged or motivated. And I just, it just seems like it's just a game and I just soon stay out of it until it affects you personally in your business, in your home, your children in school, your grandchildren, your health, and mandates coming down, forcing you to do something against your will. And what I know to be true from our founding fathers and our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, is that we have that opportunity to defend liberty. And if we can't define liberty, we can't defend liberty. And so we're continuing the conversation this morning. And I think I figured out the technology to have Bob. Hello, Bob. Are you there? I don't know. Maybe hopefully we can get Bob and both. Bob, are you there with
us
this morning? Oh, there you are. Yay. I'm trying to figure out how to get you both on at the same time. We've had some phone updates and things, so I'm going to have to figure out the technology here. But I have you on the line. I still have Kelly as well. But I want to ask you a question. When we talk about our liberty and our ability to guard our own health and some of the things that are threatening us right now, this situation is particularly concerning because what actually happened down there in Clark County and what's being reported in the media are two different stories. And you had sent an alert to me about, you know, some of the local media that's been broadcasting one thing. And when they're confronted with this, it's interesting how that's playing out. Talk to me a little bit about what's been going on with that.
Thank you. The news media down in Portland, it looks like, for the most part, took the events on January 29th and editorialized it quite a bit. We were concerned about that. So I asked for a news outlet with the initials K-O-I-N to retract an article because the title was misleading and unfactual. And so I asked the legal department there to retract, and they sent back something that basically pointed to the sheriff's department as the source for the information, the misinformation.
Mm.
And I didn't want to hear that. I mean, this is law and order. This is, I like sheriffs.
Right.
But now I'm hearing the sheriff's office is really stretching the truth and or lying in these situations to spin kind of a media narrative. And I do not like to hear all that. And that's really what's happened.
So when our listeners, you know, we're in this season now where all of the, you know, we've for a year been wearing the mask and now, you know, we're talking about the vaccines, and there are people that are truly concerned about that. But this was a different issue. This was not an anti-vaxxer issue, even though the mom and the daughter said, no, we don't want a COVID test to be done. This really wasn't about an anti-vaxxer movement, correct?
Not at all. That was irrelevant to the evening. In addition, there was another article put out about anti-maskers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's still the case that the daughter wore a mask for the night before when she was with her mom.
Right.
And she was still willing to wear a mask that same evening.
Mm-hmm.
Yet the hospital staff are claiming she didn't want to. So there's somebody spinning a story here to make somebody look bad, and it shouldn't be this family. This family is a victim. And I think that's going to be lost if these charges go through. That original cause for all this is going to be lost in the mix.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to lose the fact that the health freedom that these overreaching policies due to COVID are starting to chalk away at all of our health freedoms.
Our liberty and our health freedom, and it's interesting because we've heard for many, many years, our body, our choice. But then when it comes to these mandates under emergency clause, all of a sudden the government knows better than we do. And in this particular situation, when you have a power of attorney and you've been working and you're there with your mother, your loved one, and you're charged with that duty of taking care of them, not only just out of moral obligation, but out of legal obligation, and then you're separate. I mean, there's some serious things going on here, and it sounds like it's a smokescreen to kind of make it go another way to what's really happening and where the liberties have been violated. So this conference today, this press conference in the courthouse, is really kind of a strategy to say, this is the story, this is what's happened, and this is how we want relief, right?
Yes, I see it as that. We're trying to get in front of the narrative that's obviously already been spun, and we do want the truth to be out there. This will be a very positive press conference. It won't be accusatory for the most part, as far as I know. And really, it's just reinforcing the fact that, I mean, how many people in the audience have been separated from family due to COVID policies?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this story is about a group of family and friends who didn't just go along with it. They said, no, we're not going to go along with that policy, and we want out.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Kelly, thank you for making this a part of your morning this morning. As you prepare today, how can we be of support clear in Salem for you today?
You know, the emails could be sent to the Clark County Sheriff's Department, to Tanya Johnson. She's a detective who was heading things up, simply, you know, requesting that the truth be told and that the probable cause warrants would be retracted. And really that a public statement of apology would go out to this family.
Mm.
The police department actually released that they, to the media, that they only brought the amount of force that they did because the crowd was all heavily armed and had gas masks. Now, I don't know if they're just trying to taint a jury pool and poison a jury pool because they already plan to attack those who are standing up for medical freedom. But to say that a group is heavily armed, that is a bunch of unarmed women and mostly children and a handful of men, and to go as far as to say we had gas masks on, that's defamation, and that puts us in danger. I have no problem if people want to wear gas masks, but our group just doesn't even own gas masks.
Mm-hmm.
The narrative is so false. It's almost laughable if it wasn't so scary. And so, we want the Clark County Sheriff's Department to do what's right, to report correctly that we called them for help repeatedly and that we were not heavily armed and that there were no gas masks and that we were not a threat. We needed their help, and they in fact came as a force against us. And I think that's one of the biggest concerns now after seeing what happened that I have with our sheriff's department, because I don't want to see anyone else go through this who's standing up for their medical freedom or for their First Amendment rights and have to go through what we're going through right now.
Well, and I think you've hit it directly that we've got to stand strong and with the truth, keep standing for truth and exposing their narrative of disinformation, misinformation, and it's just drama, and it's not the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And there is, I think, some motivation, but we can stand strong. We can email this detective. We can tune in and be a part of, and if you're willing to drive there and be a part of the crowd, what a nice, beautiful, sunny day to do so. And the press conference is at what time?
It will be at 4:00 right in front of the Clark County Sheriff's Department, and that's Clark County, Washington.
Okay. Well, we keep you in our thoughts and prayers, Kelly. Please, you and Bob, give us an update on what's going on. We'll put up links so people can stay in tune and watch this. And I certainly appreciate you calling in and being a part of the show this morning. Thank you.
Great. Thanks for having us on.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you so much for the time.
Yep, and please keep us updated. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Together on this Monday, certainly, friends, there's so much going on all around that's attempting to steal our liberty and our freedoms that our founding fathers had stood so bravely for, creating an America that gives such an opportunity for us to enjoy our unalienable rights that don't come from government, they come from God. And you and I, we can make a difference doing our part today, certainly keeping this situation in prayer and getting educated, right? Being a part of the solution, that's what it's all about. You all have a great day. God bless you, and God bless America.